makers of your product present Ona Munson in The Wonderful Wileys, the fortunes of a family of four females. Mama.
Come to think of it, a man about the house is not a bad idea.
Corinne.
Suppose I have had two husbands. I could always get a third.
Hortense.
I've never encountered a man as stimulating as a book.
And Sissy.
Oh, wouldn't it be super if I could find a man like Van who could sing like Bing?
Neighbors, we want you to meet the wonderful Wileys, the most unusual family in our town of Milldale. Right now, Norma Wiley, the handsome young mother of three grown daughters, is in an awful tizzy to get off to one of her innumerable club meetings.
Girls, I'm leaving now.
Yes, Mama.
Sissy, put away those pictures of Frank Sinatra and go upstairs and do your algebra.
Oh, who cares what X equals? Haven't you got any romance in your soul, Mama?
I'll romance you, my little Bobby Soxer. Oh, Hortense.
What is it, Mama?
I'd like you to take care of a very dreary household duty, if you can tear yourself away from that medical dictionary.
But I'm not feeling too well today, Mama. I definitely have symptoms.
She's always got symptoms, that human pillbox.
Sissy, be quiet. Now, Hortense, I've ordered a turkey from Mr. Hogan, the butcher. It should have been delivered hours ago. So when it comes, be sure to put it in the icebox.
Turkey.
Corinne, by heaven's sakes, go upstairs and put some clothes on. Who do you think you are, Gypsy Rosalie?
Oh, it's hot tonight, Mama. You ought to stay home yourself instead of rushing off to another of those corny old club meetings. Which one is it this time?
The Monday Evening Mahjong Society of Lower Milldale. If you'd only come along with me some night, you'd find it quite interesting.
It must be very interesting with no men present. Which reminds me, Mama, I've been meaning to speak to you.
Oh, dear. They probably want to know why I'm late.
I'll answer. Hello? Yes? Oh, just a minute. It's for you, Mama. Grace Heffelfinger.
Heffelfinger? What a name. She must have gotten it from an antique dealer.
Shh. Hello, Grace. How are you, dear? I'm sorry, but I can't talk to you now. I'm late for my club meeting.
Father, the club meeting? Norma, there's something I've got to tell you. The most terrible thing has happened.
What?
I've fallen in love.
Oh, well, what's so terrible about that? Congratulations.
No, you don't understand. He's gone and jilted me. The cad, the cur, the curmudgeon.
Jilted you?
Yes. Oh, Norma, you've got to come right over and console.
Well, not tonight. I simply have got to go to my club meeting.
Oh, but no.
Sorry, Grace. I'm late now. Goodbye. Oh, poor Grace Heffelfinger. I've always thought that matrimony might be the solution to her problem.
It's the solution to a lot of problems, Mama. As I was saying before you...
Oh, dear, dear, look at that clock. I must be off. Goodbye, girls.
Bye. Bye. Well, I think I'll go up to my room. There's a draft down here. After all, grip is all over town.
Hortense, your symptoms will just have to wait. I have something very serious to discuss.
Can I be excused? I'm not the serious type.
Sit down and listen. Both of you know that I believe in marriage as an institution.
After two trips to the altar, nobody will deny that. Personally, Corinne, I think something's wrong with your libido.
Forget about me. I'm talking about Mama. Now, let's face it. Mama is a very attractive woman, the most attractive in this town.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of a life does she lead, huh? Well, now that we're all grown, she can't find anything to do except run around to those boring old club meetings or gossip with silly women like Grace Heffelfinger.
But she's happy.
She only pretends that she's happy. What Mama needs is a husband.
Husband? Well, maybe you're right, but...
Husband.
Have you got any suggestions? You know, the male quota in this town is rather limited.
How about Mr. Brown, the postman? He's single.
Mr. Brown. Why, he has fallen arches.
Besides which, he was rejected in the Spanish-American War. No, what we need is a fairly young man for Mama. Sort of gray at the temples, like Ronald Coleman.
And preferably rich, too. Hey, what would you say to Mr. Whitaker, the banker?
I'd say no, just as I've said every time he's tried to date me. That tired Casanova. Now, he's out.
Yeah, what would Mama want with him, a 60-year-old juvenile delinquent? Now, my idea of the ideal man for Mama is someone like Gregory Peck.
Hey, which reminds me, I promised myself I'd write him a fan letter.
Well, who could that be?
Probably your obnoxious boyfriend, Speed Jackson. That wolf usually comes prowling around at this hour.
Oh, I better slip upstairs and get dressed.
Well, be sure and put on your best for that drugstore Don Juan.
Go on, sissy. Open the door.
Okay, okay. Oh, I'm Mr. Hogan, the butcher.
Good evening, Cecilia. May, but you've strutted into a faint broth of a girl, a real Irish Colleen.
Our family is Scotch, not Irish. So you finally brought our turkey, huh?
Yes, I had to deliver it myself. My delivery boy's got the mumps.
Well, then stay away from me, Mr. Hogan. I'm very susceptible. My anemia, you know.
I'll be right down, Speed.
Take your time. It's only Mr. Hogan, the butcher.
Only Mr. Hogan, the butcher. No respect for the working man, huh? Faith, and where's your mother? I'd like to show her this bird.
Mother's gone out. Just take the turkey into the kitchen and please leave it in the icebox.
Whatever you say.
Hortense, maybe Mr. Hogan is our answer. Answer to what? The man from Mama. He sort of reminds me of Errol Flynn.
Hmm? What's this about Errol Flynn?
Our little cinemaniac here thinks Mr. Hogan looks like him. Well, anyway, he's a good prospect for Mama.
Oh? Come on. I don't remember Mr. Hogan resembling Errol Flynn, but let's go into the kitchen and take another look.
What's that, Miss Corinne? You want to take a look? Well, there he is, all ready for the icebox.
What do you think of him, girl?
He's a little scrawny.
Is that so? Your mother can't afford to be too particular these times.
Oh, no. Listen, Corinne and Sissy, if you ask me, he has no head on his shoulders.
Sure he has no head on his shoulders. Your mother always wants them dressed.
Yeah, that's another thing, the way he's dressed. Think of being seen in public with that bird.
Faith, and who'd want to be seen in public with any dead bird? What's come over you girls, anyway?
Well, he's not much to look at. But that type is usually nice and tender.
You bet your life your mother couldn't get a better bird.
Yes, maybe he isn't such a bad bargain after all.
He'll do for Mama. Oh, I suppose Mama could do worse. Well, now we've agreed that he's the one. Where do we go from here?
Begorra, I've wasted enough time. I'll tell you where I go from here. Straight home to me wife and 13 kids.
Oh, well, Hortense, you picked a fine prospect for Mama.
Yes, a man that's married and has 13 kids.
Well, girls, we've gone over every eligible bachelor in town and some of the married men, and I can't see a solitary prospect for Mama.
Yeah, we're dead pigeons. Looks like we're licked. This whole thing has unnerved me. I feel another symptom coming on. If it gets any worse, I'll have to call up Dr. Castletree.
That's it. Why didn't we think of it before? Dr. Castletree.
What are you talking about?
Dr. Castletree Natch, the handsome new sawbones here in town. Oh, what a dreamboat.
Gray on his temples, money in the bank.
The perfect choice.
Oh, but how are we going to get him over here?
Hortense, I think it's a great idea for you to call Dr. Castletree. You're not looking a bit well tonight.
I'm not? I should say not. Your eyes are puffy. I learned in biology class that that's a definite symptom of locomotor ataxia.
Locomotor ataxia? Well, maybe I'd better not see Castletree. Maybe I should call a specialist.
Oh, but my dear, he is a specialist. Why, only the other night, the druggist told me Castletree had studied under Kranzenfuster in Vienna.
Yes, the greatest authority on locomotor ataxia in the world.
Well...
Sissy, you put poor Hortense to bed while I use the phone.
I see spots before my eyes. I feel a hardening of the arteries. It's locomotor ataxia for sure.
Now, take it easy, dear. Just lean on your little sister.
Wait. Corinne, I've memorized Dr. Castletree's number just in case of such an emergency. It's Mildale 494.
Yes, I'll remember that, but first I have to call the Monday Evening Mahjong Society of Lower Mildale.
Yes, Mama should be here when Dr. Castletree arrives.
You're so right, Hortense. So right.
How is Hortense? How is my poor child?
Well, she's sleeping now, Mama. I'm sure she'll be all right, but we mustn't disturb her until the doctor comes.
Oh, nonsense. I'm going out right up to her. What kind of a mother would I be if I did...
Well, Mama, I was afraid you wouldn't get home by the time Dr. Castletree arrived.
Castletree? Why didn't you call Smith? He's our regular family doctor.
Well, Dr. Castletree has special qualifications.
Special qualifications?
Such as gray on the temples like Ronald Coleman.
Oh, Sissy, won't you ever grow up?
Poor Hortense. To think that I never took any of her symptoms seriously.
Oh, but Mama...
Please, Mama, I
think it would be better if you didn't go in.
You're keeping something from me, Corinne. I just know you haven't told me the whole story.
Oh, Mama. Mama, I'm dying.
Oh, my poor darling, don't talk like that.
The doctor. Why doesn't the doctor come before it's too late?
That's what I've been wondering.
Why, your forehead doesn't feel feverish. Here, let me take your pulse.
Mama, you really shouldn't disturb her. Let's go back downstairs and wait for the doctor.
There's something very strange here. No fever, normal pulse.
Oh, but Mama, those are the symptoms. I diagnosed the case myself. It's locomotor ataxia.
Locomotor ataxia? Hortense, get up out of that bed.
But Mama...
Come on, up now, up. Now then, Corinne and Sissy, I demand to know what you're up to. Well, the idea of scaring the life out of me with this hoax and pulling me away from my Mahjong game at such a crucial moment.
Oh, we're sorry, Mama.
Why, Mrs. Witherspoon had just discarded the dragon, which is exactly what I needed for my 14th tile. I would have Mahjong.
But it's all Corinne's fault, really. She put me up to it,
oh,
Mama.
Oh, stop blubbering, Sissy. All right, so it was all my fault.
Yes.
But the fact is, Mama, we decided that you ought to get married.
Married?
I see it all now. They wanted to get Dr. Castletree over here. They thought he was a good prospect for you, Mama.
Why, the very idea.
Oh, look, I know how silly this all sounds to you, Mama. But well, we held a council of war and decided a few things. After all, Papa died when we were kids, and you brought us up all by yourself. Now it's time to think of your happiness.
But I am happy. You children are all that I need.
Mama, stop blushing. You're still the best-looking member of this family. And a girl like you needs a little romance in her life.
Why, no man would even look at me.
Oh, that's what you think, darling. Remember yesterday when we were shopping at Hill's department store? Why, when Mr. Hill showed you the piece goods himself, even that Floor Walker's carnation got green with envy.
Oh, Corinne, you're joking.
Oh, why, sure, Mama. You got sex appeal. The last time we walked by the courthouse, those wolves on the step went...
Oh, yes, they didn't.
And the day we went into the drugstore to get some ephedrine for my asthma, a fellow at the fountain almost fell off the stool ogling you.
Oh, now stop it.
So you see, Mama, it isn't that you haven't had chances. It's just that you didn't know what to do with them.
You listen to Corinne, Mama. She's had two husbands with Speed Jackson slated as her third.
And, Mama, you know how men bore me. But it's different with Dr. Castletree.
Well, does have a pleasant personality.
And did you ever take a gander at that profile?
And he is rather distinguished looking.
Yes, but he's already established a very successful practice here in Milldale.
Well, I suppose you could like a rich man as well as a poor man.
How about it, Mama? What do you say?
Hortense.
Yes, Mama.
Get back into bed, and let's see if we can't figure out some legitimate symptoms.
Mama!
You will do it, Mama.
Well, why not? What time does our Dr. Castletree arrive?
Back to the Wonderful Wileys, starring Ona Munson. Well, it looks as if the girls have just about sold Mama a bill of goods on matrimony in general and Dr. Castletree in particular. The fascinating physician is on his way to the Wiley home. At this point, Corinne is bucking up Mama's courage in preparation for things to come.
I tell you, Mama, there's nothing to be nervous about.
Corinne's right, Mama. Everything's going to be just super.
Well, that's all very well for you girls to say, but What if Dr. Castletree finds out that Hortense is faking?
Well, that's all taken care of, Mama. I gave her my biology book, and she's up there now picking out an ailment that would baffle even the Mayo brothers.
Anyway, Mama, you leave that part of it to us. We'll fix it so that you get to be alone with Dr. Castletree. And when that happens...
Oh, Sissy, why don't you run upstairs and keep Hortense company?
Oh, but, Mom, it's much more interesting downstairs.
That's exactly why I want you upstairs.
Beat it, Sissy.
All right, if you want me to be a campfire girl all my life.
Oh, Corinne, it's no use. I don't think I can go through with this.
Oh, sure you can, Mama. After all, men haven't changed much since the day you snagged Papa. They're like automobiles. They change them a little every year, but... You still operate on the same principle.
Well, then maybe it's me that's changed. When I married your father, I had dozens of bows.
Well, you'd have dozens now. The trouble is you're rusty. All you have to do is brush up a little on your technique.
My technique?
Sure. Now, look, Mama, I don't exactly set myself up as the final word in these matters, but I have managed to lasso a couple of husbands. Well, I can give you all the pointers in one easy lesson.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll be the boy and you'll be the girl.
Well, now, I'm not exactly a girl any longer, and Dr. Castletree could hardly pass for a boy.
Oh, Mama, let's not quibble over 20 years. Now, once more, I'm the boy, and you're the girl. It's a beautiful moonlit night, and we're in the park.
But we won't be in the park. Dr. Castletree and I will be right here in this parlor.
Now, don't be stubborn. You can get him to take you for a walk in the park. More romantic that way.
Oh, very well. We're walking in the park.
Now you're cooperating, Mama. We're walking in the park. It's a beautiful moonlit night. A night made for romance. Do you feel anything yet, Mama?
No, I don't think so.
You will. All nature expresses what I'm trying to tell you. Look at those two squirrels over there.
Squirrels in my parlor? Where?
Mama, we're still in the park. The squirrels are up there in that tree.
Oh.
Notice how slowly they approach each other. And one little squirrel turns its head, and the other little squirrel comes over, and they look into each other's eyes, and they get closer and closer. And then they rub noses.
That's all there is to it?
That's all.
Well, as the mother of three grown daughters, at last I understand life.
Oh, Mama. Oh, that's him now. That's Dr. Castletree.
Oh, you answer the door, Corinne. I don't think I'm up to it.
Don't be a child, Mama. Oh, Dr. Castletree, so nice to see you. Do come in.
Thank you.
Dr. Castletree, I'd like to introduce my mother. She's looked forward so to meeting you.
Oh, what Corinne meant to say is
I meant to say that you've looked forward so to meeting him.
Oh, are you the patient, madam? You do look a bit flushed.
Oh, no, that's just my natural coloring.
Mama's face is always a little red. She has Indian blood in her.
Indian blood? Interesting, but where's the patient, madam?
Upstairs. My middle daughter, Hortense, is ill. Corinne, you take the doctor to her.
You take the doctor to her,
no,
Mama.
No, Corinne, you.
Well, come. Which one of you is going to lead me to the middle daughter?
I guess I'm elected. This way, doctor.
Tell me, this illness of your sister's, is it something that came up quite suddenly?
Oh, yes, but I've been planning it for some time.
What's that?
I mean, it might have been a good idea to have you over here long ago.
Oh.
Isn't the doctor ever going to come?
He's right here, sister dear. I want you to meet Dr. Castletree.
How do you do?
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, you see, Dr. Castletree...
Sissy, they're my symptoms. Let me talk.
Not now. Here, put this thermometer in your mouth.
But I won't...
Now then, Dr. Castletree...
Quiet while I take a pulse.
You needn't bother, doctor. I've already diagnosed the disease.
You've diagnosed the disease?
Yes. It's metatarsalitis, characterized by severe neuralgic pain, beginning at the side of the distal end of the third or fourth metatarsal bone, and extending up into the foot and leg.
I beg your pardon. You mean metatarsalgia. There's no such thing as metatarsalitis.
I mean metatarsalitis.
Metatarsalitis or metatarsalgia, what's the difference? They're both the result of tight shoes.
Tight shoes?
Where'd you get your information from, anyway?
Right here out of this biology book.
May I see that book, please?
Certainly, but I can't lend it to you.
Young lady, did you ever notice who the author of this book is? Take a look at this name on the cover.
Great balls of fire. Leonard Castletree, M.D.
That's me.
Okay, metatarsalgia it is.
Just wait till I take a look at this thermometer. Mm-hmm. Well, just as I thought.
I'll face it, doctor. Tell me the awful truth.
Temperature normal. Absolutely normal. So was the pulse. Young lady, there's nothing in the world the matter with you.
Oh, dear me. Wait till Mama hears of this.
How's that?
Oh, this is what Mama was afraid of.
Afraid of?
Well, you see, Mama has always been frightened to death that Hortense was a hypochondriac.
Yes, yes, this is going to be a terrible blow to Mama.
Doctor, it's your responsibility to go down to the parlor and break the news to her.
Well,
be ever so gentle, Doctor. Do everything you can to console her.
Yes, Doctor, I was always afraid that Hortense had a quirk. Why, you know, when she was 8 years old, she kept crying that she had Hugo's disease.
Hugo's disease? Why, no one under 80 ever had that.
That's what I'm telling you, Doctor.
Mrs. Wiley, I must say you've taken this admirably.
Oh, well, it hasn't been easy.
Yes, yes. Well, now I must be off. Important meeting tonight, the Mildale Fungus Foundation.
Oh, and I have been enjoying this little talk so much.
Oh, you have?
Couldn't you just stay a few more minutes?
Well, yes, I don't suppose I'll miss anything. After all, Dr. Hammerschlager's the first speaker. Dull fellow, Hammerschlager.
Yes, he's not at all like you, Dr. Castletree.
Oh?
We really needed someone like you in Mildale.
Nice community, Mildale. Some very interesting landmarks.
I suppose you've been up to the tower of the petroleum building.
Oh, indeed I have.
Have you been to the zoo, Doctor?
Indeed I have.
Have you ever gone strolling in the park?
Indeed, I... No, come to think of it, I haven't.
You haven't? You know, Doctor, it's such a beautiful moonlit night, and the park is so close by. Now, if it weren't for your Fungus Foundation, I'd be so bold as to suggest...
Oh, confound the Fungus Foundation, and I'll suggest it. Madam... Will you accompany me for a stroll in the park on this beautiful moonlit night?
Indeed, I will. It will only take me a second to get my hat. Oh, dear, who can that be? Excuse me, Doctor. Hello?
Is that you, Norma? Oh, I'm so glad you're back from the club meeting.
Oh, Grace, you always catch me at the most inopportune time. I can't talk to you now.
But you've got to. You simply got to. If someone doesn't listen to me, I don't know what I'll do. I won't be responsible for my actions.
Well, Grace, take a sedative and try to get some rest.
Rest? Rest after what's happened to me? Why, that libertine, that lowlife, that lothario...
I'm sure he's all of that, Grace, but I can't talk to you now. Goodbye. I'll get my hat now, Doctor. Sorry, but you see, this friend of mine...
Oh, I hope this isn't another delay.
Oh, dear. Excuse me, Doctor. Oh, good evening, Speed.
Well, well, well. How's my future mother-in-law tonight? Oh, I'm a lucky guy to get such a pretty mother-in-law. Yes, sir, that's what I was just telling the boys down at the drugstore.
I'll tell Corrine you're here, Speed. Meantime, meet Dr. Castletree. This is Speed Jackson.
How are you?
Know the old sawbones already? Yes, the fascinating physician with a bedside manner, as he's known in our circle. Don't know if I ever told you, Doc, but my brother is a leading bone specialist.
An orthopedist?
No, just like I said, a bone specialist. He carries his own dice. Oh, ain't that a hot one, Doc? Used to be part of my routine when I was in vaudeville.
I'm sure you were very talented.
Oh, yes, yes. So was my partner, Johnson and Jackson. Oh, what an act we had. Johnson would come out and say, "How do you do, Doctor? I'm ailing from thrombosis." And I'd say, "Glad to see you. I'm Jackson from Peoria."
Speed, Speed. I'm sorry, but the doctor and I were about to leave for a stroll in the park.
Well, well, you couldn't ask for a better night for it. Be sure to show the doc the squirrels, Mama. You know what I mean.
Oh, really, Speed?
Oh, no need to blush, Mama. All nature expresses what I'm trying to tell you. Let's take two squirrels in a tree in the park. One little squirrel turns its head, and the other little squirrel comes over, and they look into each other's eyes, and they get closer and closer, and then they rub noses.
Speed Jackson.
Oh, hiya, Corinne. How's my turtle dove? I was just telling Mama here.
I heard you come out into the patio with me.
Oh, but Tush.
Come on, personality boy.
All right, lead on, butterfly. You know old Speed, all right. A panic in the patio.
Interesting, wasn't it, his allusion to the squirrels?
Oh, yes, the squirrels. Oh, well, now I'll go and get my hat.
Oh, by all means, before another interruption occurs. Shades of Hippocrates.
Oh, now what?
Grace! Grace Heffelfinger.
Oh, I just had to come over, Norma. I just had to tell you about that rake, that rogue, that roué. He led me on, and now...
Shh, Grace, the neighbors. You don't want them to hear.
Well, let them hear. I'll shout it to the housetops. I'll tell the whole world.
Please, Grace, at least come inside.
Oh, that man, that monster, that Mephistopheles. Ah!
Well, what in the name of...
There he is, the beast. The blackguard, the bluebeard.
Grace, what on earth are you talking about?
That's him right there.
The man who broke your heart?
Yes, Dr. Castletree. She's fainted.
Thank heaven.
Poor Mama. To think that we almost got her involved with a rake, a rogue, a roué.
Hortense, what's a roué?
Oh, you know what a roué is, Sissy. That's a beast, a blackguard, a bluebeard.
Ah, look, girls, Mama feels bad enough, so let's not make with the jokes, huh?
Oh, don't worry about me, Corinne. I'll be all right.
But, Mama, promise that you won't let this experience affect you. That you'll still keep an open mind towards matrimony.
Well,
there's always Mr. Brown, the postman. Suppose he has got fallen arches.
No, I don't
think... Then what about Mr. Whittaker, the banker? Suppose he is 60. He's well preserved.
No, I don't think...
Well, Mama, you tell us then. What kind of a man would appeal to you?
A man just like Dr. Castletree?
Before we say goodnight, here again is our star, Ona Munson.
Folks, I want you to meet the cast of The Wonderful Wileys. Sissy, our babbling Bobby Soxer.
Marcy McGuire.
Hortense, our medical-minded middle daughter.
Thelma Hubbard.
Corinne, our femme fatale.
Mary Lansing.
Speed Jackson, our squirrel specialist.
Jerry Hausner.
Dr. Castletree, our fascinating physician.
Frank Nelson.
Mr. Hogan, our butcher, Begorry.
Griff Barnett.
Grace Heffelfinger, our gabby, gushing, garrulous girlfriend.
Ruth Parrott.
And our announcer.
Vance Graham, reporting that the series is written by Ben Pearson and Maurice Zim, with original music composed and conducted by Lester Spencer. Produced by Zola Palmer and directed by Maurice Zim. Well, that's all, neighbors, except that you're all invited to come along next week for another visit with the wonderful Wileys, as we follow the fortunes of a family of four females.